Welcome to the Baltimore List. This is a show discussing quirky, eccentric, and noteworthy events and happenings all around Baltimore. Today, our guest is Joe Gold from Heavy Seas Brewery, and he is the person that puts together Baltimore Beer Week, which is about to start tomorrow. That
Correct.
Will be Friday.
The 18th.
The 18th. Going for a full week. Welcome to you, Joe.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Why don't we start getting right into Baltimore Beer Week? Can you give us a little bit of the specifics of what's going on?
And the funny thing is, we're in Baltimore, and the beer week is 10 days long.
that's a week in Baltimore.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not 7 days. It's actually 10 days in Baltimore.
No, it's great. It starts on a Friday, and we have a kickoff luncheon tomorrow at a place called the Heavy Seas Ale House, and it'll run through next Sunday evening. And there's 366 events right now listed on the website
Wow.
in those 9-10 days. So Wow. it's a whole lot of stuff happening in a short period of time.
Great. Well, let's start about some of the different venues you're going to be doing these events
Sure,
at.
Sure. I mean, the basis for most of this is happening in taverns, bars, pubs, those type of venues. But it's been amazing over the course of 5 years how many new venues have come to support the event. The American Brewing Building, which is the old building on Gay Street, is now... turn into Humanim. It's a nonprofit mm-hmm. building, but they give tours just during Baltimore Beer Week to the public because it's an old brewery building. And that took us a couple years to make that happen. The Center Stage is doing something. The Creative Alliance is doing something. Mm-hmm. So the arts community and the civic community is starting to find us a little more, and it's not just bars and taverns.
Right.
Like the Downtown Partnership is doing an oyster fest and beer tasting in Center Plaza.
Huh.
On next Wednesday, which would be great. You know, the first 400 people get a free glass.
Mm-hmm.
And, that shows that the community and the city is starting to embrace something that's just started by a couple of enthusiasts.
Well, that's interesting. I know Baltimore has quite a beer history.
Yes, we do.
And
yes, we do.
I'm sure you know quite a bit about it.
There are experts on this, and I would call myself a standby novice, but I've read all the books and I know, I can tell you where things happen in sort of years. We started brewing in the 1700s in
mm-hmm.
Baltimore. Our country was founded in the 1700s.
Right.
So we go back to the beginning, being a port city, being a port of entry for sure to a lot of the immigrants for sure. I mean, in the 1800s, it really changed when the German and Irish and English immigrants started to come to the U.S. We were second to Ellis Island in terms of taking immigrants in.
Hmm.
And if you look at this, the Baltimore, the layout of the neighborhoods, you will see the ethnicity of how the neighborhoods were shaped. And the Germans tended to go to Brewer's Hill,
mm-hmm.
of all things. At one point in time, there were about 20 different breweries just over in that part of town, brewing German-made style lagers
right.
here in Baltimore. We've always had an English base. Oliver's is the last remaining English style real ale place here in Baltimore,
mm-hmm.
but we've always done, English style beers. And then we now have a Belgian influence too. We have Brian Strumke from Stillwater,
mm-hmm.
who has a place called Of Love and Regret. And if you look at beer history, just totally getting off topic for a second, those three countries are the ones that the world looks to as setting the world beer styles.
Right.
So it's Bohemia, Germany, Czech Republic, Belgium, and England. And we have an influence of all three of those here in our city.
Some more questions about Baltimore Beer Week. Are you
mm-hmm.
are you highlighting all beers or specifically microbrew beers or beers that are specifically brewed in Maryland?
No, that's an excellent question. And our tagline, we sort of came up with this in year one because we didn't know how this was going to go.
Mm-hmm.
You start out with a model that there's a flagship sponsor, there's a couple levels of higher levels, and then there's the participating sponsor. So we just didn't know who was going to take that flagship,
mm-hmm.
who was going to take some of these upper levels. So we came up with a tagline that says, we celebrate all things beer in the land of pleasant living.
Oh, great.
So it really doesn't matter to us what beers, but we certainly embrace local. We certainly embrace international. We lean toward craft beer.
Mm-hmm.
Just because from what I've found in my lifetime is the national brews, the Bud Miller Coorsy brews of the world,
mm-hmm.
they're taken to tailgates, they're taken to 4th of July picnics and stuff like that, but nobody celebrates that liquid. They take them places, but it's really more of a social thing, and it's just
right.
kind of there. The craft beer just turned the world on its head in the sense that, you drink a craft beer, and you actually almost have to pay attention to the flavor.
What is the difference between microbrew and craft brew?
You are using a historic term when you use microbrew.
Okay.
It was originally, microbrew was the term that sort of generated out of the craft brew industry in the late 70s, early 80s. And as breweries started to grow, two main ones, Sierra Nevada and Sam Adams, they started topping 1 million barrels of beer a year. That doesn't sound micro to anybody.
They're not tiny anymore.
No, right. So the Brewers Association, who many, almost all brewers in America join, they're based in Denver. They had a symposium and they said, look, what's our real term? What's the term to define our industry? And it came out that we're craft brewers.
Okay.
So it's the craft brew segment now. And micro is not really a word that's used in the industry as much any longer. Mm-hmm. It's certainly in the press a lot still,
right?
Because it was the first term out, and it sticks.
The whole craft brew revolution is becoming almost like wines, with wine mm-hmm. tasting and food pairings, and
absolutely.
Can you? I'm sure there's some of that going on. Specifically.
Oh, there's amazing things going on when it comes to food pairings, and there's beer dinners certainly, and many of the top breweries are hosting beer dinners at great venues.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you one great idea that we did a couple years ago, but Waterfront Kitchen has grown up a little bit now. But Jerry Pellegrino used mm-hmm. to be over at Cork's.
Right.
And he shut his restaurant down one evening and he had 10 people come in and cook in the kitchen and paired it with beer.
Wow.
And, you know, you paid to go do that. But so there's some fun things. The Marquee Lounge is actually going to do a beer cooking class mm-hmm. this year. There's cheese tastings with beer. There's chocolate tastings with beer. There's high-end beer dinners. 1010's doing a fabulous beer dinner, I think, with Union, mm-hmm. one of their local breweries. The Brewer's Art always does some sort of a special layout beer dinner that they do. We've had some of our venues that do a beer and food pairing all week.
Hmm.
Like, you come in, you don't have to come on one night, and right. you know, that night doesn't work for you. So they do, this is our beer week menu. And it's a prefix or whatever it is, the menu, and you come in, you get a beer and a four-course meal. And four beers. One of the wine market on Ford Avenue is one mm-hmm. of the ones doing one like that. But with 360 plus events, I can't remember every detail.
Maybe you could tell us a little bit more how Beer Week got started and where you come from.
Yeah, sure. I have done two things for money in my adult life.
Okay, this is
good.
During the all ages hours.
So yes, I got it. I played lacrosse locally. I was an athlete locally, played lacrosse, and I was hired by the English government to promote lacrosse in England right out of college.
Hmm.
I went to UMBC, graduated, and was hired by the English government to go play lacrosse and promote lacrosse over there. And that's honestly where I learned about beer. It became a passion of mine. I traveled all over Europe doing this lacrosse job. I was there for 3.5 years. And afterwards, I was, what am I going to do for a living when I get back to America? And a brewery in London, Young's Brewing Company, and I got to know each other. And they hired me and trained me as a brewer to come back to the U.S. and become their import manager over here.
Hmm.
So that's how I got in the beer business. And seriously, I've been back and forth through lacrosse and beer over the course of my adult life.
Which just seems to go together, doesn't
they do.
It?
It sounds pretty good. But I mean, Young's asked me, actually, I worked for Young's for 5 years, and they asked me to move to LA, and I'm a Baltimore native. And that wasn't on the cards for me. And I've traveled around the world, and LA, they're wonderful folks, and I love visiting, but there's just no way I could have lived there.
Unless the beer is made with alfalfa sprouts.
Maybe.
Hence Woody right. Allen, Andy yeah. Hall reference there.
yeah, sure. And so what happened when I left Young's is I went back to the world of lacrosse, and I was the national sales manager for a company called Lax World.
Mm-hmm.
And not to go into the whole resume, but then when I left there, I got back in the brewing business with the local brewery here, Oliver's. Mm-hmm. The Wharf Rat, which is now the Pratt Street Ale House. And then I was with Victory Brewing Company in Downingtown, PA.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always a fan of Hugh Sisson and always a fan of the Sisson's Brew Pub. And then when he opened Heavy Seas, and when Heavy Seas started to grow a bit and I had some resume building pieces on my resume, he and I sort of partnered up and I'm now at Heavy Seas. Basically, that's kind of how I got into the industry. Now, how is it relevant to Baltimore Beer Week?
Mm-hmm.
I, being a native, traveling around the world, tasting beers everywhere, taking a look at things. In the mid-90s to late 90s, the craft beer business topped off. There were people coming to the industry trying to start new startups. And they just, the motivation was wrong. People were coming to the industry trying to make money. There's a famous statement. The way to make a small fortune in the craft beer industry is to start with a large fortune. It's a passion, and it's a, right. You do it because you love it. So I started to see breweries starting to close down in Baltimore. The first one was the Baltimore Brewing Company. It was right on President Street. Mm-hmm. And then Globe went out of business, you know, on Key Highway. And then Sissons had left, you know, Hugh left to go start Heavy Seas. Cap City left the Inner Harbor. And I just felt that there was an apathy for the beer industry here in Baltimore.
Well, Heavy Seas wasn't always called Heavy Seas.
It's funny you asked that question. And the best answer I can give you is when Heavy Seas opened, there was a bank account name and they didn't know what the brand was going to be.
Okay.
When Harpoon or Samuel Adams opened, they had a clear business plan and there was a bank account name and a brand name.
Right.
As things evolved, that the brewery is called Clipper City.
Right. Okay. That's
still Clipper the bank City. Account name.
Okay.
In the mid-2000s, Heavy Seas invented a brand called Loose Cannon. Mm-hmm. So it was called Heavy Seas Loose Cannon. That brand finally gave Heavy Seas an opportunity to build on a brand. Because mm-hmm. Heavy Seas had tried Clipper. They tried Oxford. They tried a couple different. They tried McHenry Lager. I mean, they tried many different brands and nothing was sticking, so to speak. They were selling beer, but nothing was sticking. And when the Loose Cannon came out and it was called Heavy Seas, that stuck. So in today's world, there's a bank account name at the company, but the brand is Heavy Seas.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So did I get into how it's relevant to Baltimore Brewery? Apathy, the apathy I felt around town was, you know, I wanted to drink a beer with somebody that was interested in talking about drinking good beer. And you had places and people were chugging along, but it just didn't, there was no excitement. A group in Philadelphia started something called Philly Beer Week. And I was sitting there like, let me go up and take a look at that. And I knew the guys had started it because I'd been in the industry for years. And I went up and I saw hundreds of people out enjoying beer in a tavern during the week of Philly Beer Week. And I said, that's a great idea. You focus 1 week a year. You drink it all year, but you focus 1 week and you raise awareness and bring people together and be in a celebratory mode. So I got back to Baltimore and I started noodling around. How am I going to do this? What am I going to do? Who do I need to get involved? And I sat down with a group of five or six guys and said, look, if I put this together, what can it work here? And a couple of guys, everybody said, yeah. And I said, well, who's going to do it? And everybody turns to me and said, well, you're the guy with the idea, you do it. And that's kind of how it kind of evolved.
It's always around the same time each year?
Yeah, it's in October every year. And it's the funniest thing in the world how things evolve in your lifestyle, in lifetime. The Brewers Association of Maryland lobbied our governor to pick a month out of the year to call it Maryland Beer Month. The natural was October.
Right.
And I think possibly because Baltimore Beer Week fell in there already.
Well, it might not have anything to do with Oktoberfest.
No, maybe not. Who knows? Yeah, right.
So you did tell us a little bit about how you worked over in England.
Yes.
And could you tell us a little more about that?
Sure.
And what you were doing for Young's?
Yeah, well, you know, here I was, a guy teaching lacrosse all over England and certainly into Europe. But, you know, I'm 24 or 5 years old, living over there. And Young's had a map of their taverns in London. They had 135 taverns based all over London.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a little booklet that they gave out in all the pubs. And if you went to each of these taverns and had a pint or just visited or whatever and had the barkeeper or the publican sign off on it, you mailed it into Young's. And you were given a VIP tour at the brewery, and they gave you a tie and a pin and actually a wooden barrel of beer, a small little wooden barrel of beer, to take home with you that a cooper actually made. You know, it was amazing. You know, and I'm a guy 24 years old going, this is crazy. So I threw out the tour book of London immediately, and that became my guide. When I had a day off or I was in a neighborhood, I would find those Young's pubs. So as I went to every single one they had, I felt like that was a great opportunity for me to see parts of London that many Americans, tourists, would never see.
Mm-hmm.
I met many good friends, fabulous friends on that. One of my best beer drinking buddies of all time I've met in that adventure.
Mm-hmm.
So I was on the tour. I signed up for this VIP tour. And the first thing that happens to you is you go in the reception room. And it's in London, Southwest 18, SW18, which is in Wandsworth. Receptionist comes out and she goes, we'll be right with you. Wait a couple minutes. And she comes out and gets me, and we walk up like six flights of stairs up to John Young's office, the owner of the brewery.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you start the tour. They take you, walk in. And I'm like, I've never forget this. The reception said, "Mr. Young, this is Mr. Gold. He's completed his 135 tour, and he's here for his day at the brewery." John Young stands up, and he shakes my hand. He goes, "Thank you for all the support. It's great to have you in today. So what made, you know, tell me more about it." And I started talking in an American accent. He stands back up out of his chair, and he goes, "You're American." And I was like, "Yep, that's correct, Mr. Young. Yes, I am." He goes, "You're not going to believe this. We are thinking of exporting to America. And you've completed our tour. You know us inside out. We didn't have to do any training. You've been in every tavern we owned." And I was like, "Well, I never thought of it like that. I didn't even know you were going to export." And he walks me down the hallway. This is 5 minutes after I met the guy. Walks down the hallway, walk into the export manager's office. John Young says to the export manager, Dan, he goes, "This guy just completed the tour. He's American. Why don't you guys talk and figure out what we're thinking about in America and see if it makes any sense to even consider this guy? I haven't even been on the tour or anything yet." So I'm sitting there talking to Dan. He goes, "You know what? We've looked at a couple of places in America that we're going to export to. And the one that we think we're going to go to is Jessup, Maryland." I said, "Are you kidding me? That's 20 minutes from my house. I grew up in South Baltimore. I could ride a bike there if I had to." And I was, my contract with the English government for lacrosse was running out in 3 months. He said, "Well, you call me when it gets closer to your time to leave and we'll chat." So basically what happened is I called him with a couple of weeks left. And they said, "Sounds great. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to put a package together for you and send it to you." So what they wanted to do was I had to come back to the U.S. I was actually training for the England team. I was the coach. So I had to leave the country and fly to Toronto. So I was leaving for sure. Went to Toronto, took 2 weeks off afterwards and came home. And they called up with this offer and they said, "We want you to come back over and train for 6 months at the brewery, like in the brew house, and learn all the bits and pieces. And then we want you to go back to the U.S. and be our import manager."
Wow.
So that was
that's amazing.
So that was how it happened. Just because I had an idea that an adventure in London sounded, a pub crawl in London sounded pretty fun.
Well, I mean, I know there's a lot of bar golf, a lot of pub crawling that goes on, particularly in Fells Point.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, that idea of the sort of the beer passport all over Fells Point, I think could do very well.
That'd be fantastic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe you can. I know there's a lot going on with your week. What, 350 some months?
Yeah, 360 but, plus.
Are there any particular beer brands or locations or sponsors that have really made a huge difference in what you've been doing, putting this
together? Oh, sure. You know, when you talk about the sponsors and you always want to say thanks to your sponsors.
Right.
I mean, the Heavy Seas is the flagship sponsor. Mm-hmm. So they're the ones that put, they come to the table and they lead the brands. But we've got some great other, at the gold level, we've got Fordham Coastal Brewing Company. Mm-hmm. We've got Duclaw, local brewery there. We've got some really interesting restaurant taverns that get involved at the upper levels. Clobie's down in Laurel, they are one of our large sponsors. The Das Best Oktoberfest is one of our large sponsors. Hudson Street Stackhouse right here in Canton is a fabulous sponsor. And they've just seen their business grow when they got into the craft business. It just took off for them. And there's many more. I mean, I could name names, and I'm trying to not leave people out.
But, right.
But what's happened and evolved over 5 years is we've seen some of the venues cut back how many events they're doing, but really put some thought and energy into the events they do. Like Metropolitan over in Federal Hill, he does a beer can derby. Like the Boy Scouts used to do with a boxcar derby or whatever.
Right.
You get all the breweries together and they take cans and make a beer car and they race them down a Pinewood Derby racetrack.
Huh.
And that's creative. That's outside the box. There's pumpkin carving things where they'll have some people carve some pumpkins and then they'll put pumpkin beer into the pumpkins and drink it.
Right.
Like out of the pumpkin. Stuff like that. One of the funny things that's going to happen this year is Max's Tap House in Fells Point is going to do a big wheel race. They're going to have a bunch of folks in there riding around on big wheels. I don't know how they're going to pull it off, but it just sounds fun.
Oh, yeah.
One of the venues did a zip line thing. You got to worry about insurance and stuff when you do that. But there's so many different and creative and interesting ideas. One thing, if I could, one of the things, Dominic Cantalupo, who hasn't been mentioned yet, he's the guy who really kind of partnered with me in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And he and I are now considered the co-founders of Baltimore Beer Week. We've had many people come and go that have helped, but he and I have been the kind of two people who have been along the way. And we looked at this as our fifth year and we said, you know what? we're going to do Find the Founders, meaning he and I, and we're going to do five special events. And it's going to be a Twitter tweet, sort of send some stuff out, cryptic messages, and see if people can find us.
Sort of like a scavenger hunt.
Kind
of,
yeah.
Find Joe.
Yeah, kind of thing like that. And so I think that, you know, that might sound hokey, but once I think that it starts to happen and people... It's going to be fun. It's going to they're going to be a couple.
Are you going to be wearing a powdered wig and all?
No. I'm not going there. I'm going to be dressed in my normal. I mean, okay. You know, it's funny you say that. I'm going to be wearing a Baltimore Beer Week something, and I'm going to. You'll know where I'm standing. One of them's going to be we're going to do a waterfront boat pub crawl, and so you know there'll be a couple of us on the boat. And we're going to tell people where we're going to dock and meet us at that bar. One of them is we're going to eat crabs and possibly drink a beer.
Oh, I'm sure. Possibly.
In a venue that you would not expect. And we'll see how that one goes. It's one of those things. I said to Dominic, what are the things in Baltimore that you want to do that you've never done before? And so that's kind of what we're coming up with some ideas.
Well, I certainly have never zip-lined in Baltimore, but I guess that's going to be the new thing.
No, I don't know. So we're doing some fun stuff like that. You know?
Well, it sounds really like a great event, and I think it's going to be a wonderful event for anybody who's coming in town or is in town to participate, whatever day. It doesn't matter what the weather's going to be.
No,
either.
It's inside, outside, so, it's, you know.
But anyway, we can promote Baltimore businesses and Baltimore taverns and Baltimore food. It's always a good thing.
Well, all the events are listed at BaltimoreBeerWeek.com. So that's the easiest way to find us. We've got a printed official guide, and there are thousands of those all over town and many of the sponsoring venues. And they're in the city paper this week. That guide you have in front of you is an insert in the city paper this week.
Nice.
So, you know, you pick the city paper up this week, you'll find that. But the real place to go is BaltimoreBeerWeek.com. That's the place to find everything that's going on.
Okay.
And, it's amazing how many different things are happening.
Okay, great. Thanks so much for coming in and talking to us. My name is Janice Kaufman, and this is the Baltimore List. Thanks for tuning in.
Thank you.